All right, welcome back to the listener's commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. In this recording, we're going to be looking at Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. And as we go down through this, I'm sure you'll note that this is a very familiar scene to any of you who have read through the Gospels or spent much time in church, particularly spent time in church leading up to Easter and the Easter season. It is what we refer to as the triumphal entry. It is the situation that leads to the modern church practice of Palm Sunday. And so it is a really important story in the Gospels, and that's why it shows up in each one of them. And so as we jump into it here in Matthew's Gospel, let's make sure we at least set it in context. Keep in mind that over the last couple of chapters, chapter 19 and 20, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for Passover. That's what's bringing him here. So it's Passover season in Jerusalem. And as Jesus is heading there, he's doing so knowing full well what will happen to him in Jerusalem during this Passover week. And we left off in our previous recording with Jesus leaving Jericho getting ready to head up the steep climb that will take him over the Mount of Olives and down into Jerusalem. But on his way out of Jericho, he heals two blind beggars. And then from there, he leaves the city of Jericho, makes this 15 to 17 mile climb through the desert, up those eastern desert mountains, right? And Jericho sits a little below, you know, about 1,000 to 1,200 feet below sea level. You got to crest the Mount of Olives, which sets about 2,700 feet above sea level. So it's a long, steep, hard climb. Going to take virtually the entire day to do it. I will put a picture of that climb and that area in the study hub if you want to check that out so you can have a sense of it. But once you crest the top of the Mount of Olives, you arrive here where chapter 21 picks up. So we've made this long climb, and now we're right at the top. And that's where chapter 21 picks up. And it picks up with this great celebration of the king's arrival. Look what happens. Matthew 21, verse 1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two of his disciples, saying to them, and we'll pick up at that point. But we have to remember where we're at, right? So we've had nearly 17 miles of climbing. We've approached the peak of the Mount of Olives at about, 2,700 feet above sea level. And from there now, we're ready to descend down the other side into the valley and then up the small hill on the other side into the city of Jerusalem. That's where we're at. And the traditional site of the city of Bethphage that's mentioned here in verse 1 is right towards the top on the eastern edge of the Mount of Olives. Bethphage and Bethany were twin villages right there at the top. And so that's where we're at. And so Jesus selects two of his disciples for a task, and that task is to go into the village right where they're at. And here's what Jesus wants them to do. Here's his instructions. He says, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with it. Untie them, bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord needs them, and he will send them on immediately. Now, we don't know if Jesus had made previous arrangements with the owner of this donkey and its colt, or if Jesus has prophetic insight into this. I tend to think it's maybe some arrangements. We know Jesus has connections both in Bethany as well as likely some in Bethphage. So whichever village it is, Jesus has some sort of connections, and he sends his disciples to get this donkey and its colt. And Matthew then explains to us what the significance of this is. Look at verse 4. Now, this took place so that what was spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is from a passage out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 in the Old Testament. So the prophet Zechariah, with prophetic foresight, looking forward to when the great king is going to return to Jerusalem. Here's how he describes it. Let me read Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the donkey. And so Matthew has included part of that verse, but not all of it. And in context of Zechariah chapter 9, this passage is pitted against a war horse. And so you have a king on a war horse versus a king riding on a donkey. And the king riding on a donkey comes at the end of war. He's bringing peace, not war. And so in view of what Zechariah has said, this action that Jesus is arranging here is a strongly symbolic one. And Jesus knows what he's doing. It's Passover season. You have thousands of pilgrims in Jerusalem. It's Passover, which was a celebration of Jewish liberation from Egypt. See, it's a freedom festival. And thus, it awakened among the Jews all sorts of national hopes and national dreams for freedom from Rome, for the Messiah to come. And Jesus knows all of that. And thus, we have to see Jesus arranging for this moment, knowing what he's doing, knowing what it's going to communicate to his followers, to the entourage around him, to the people of Jerusalem. He knows all of that. And so with all of that in mind, Jesus sends these two off to retrieve the donkey. And the disciples, verse 6, went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their cloaks on them, and he sat on the cloaks. And so they kind of a makeshift sort of saddle. They put cloaks over the donkey. Jesus sits on the cloaks. And most of the crowd then took off their cloaks, their outer garments, and spread them on the road. And others were cutting branches from the trees, spreading them on the road as well. And this is where the practice of Palm Sunday comes from. It's in the Gospel of John that we learn that the branches they were cutting are palm branches, and hence Palm Sunday. And this whole little scene here is, in one sense, giving Jesus like the red carpet treatment. They're laying it out, they're putting branches out, they're waving branches. It is a celebration. It is a royal parade. It may even recall like King Jehu's welcome as king in 2 Kings chapter 9. They did the same sort of thing. And the idea of cutting off the branches would call to mind the way Jews had used branches like this during the removal of their oppressors and their enemies at the Maccabean revolt. And so there's all this historical knowledge of removing oppression, of kings coming, of hopes for Messiah. That's what's going on here. And so Jesus arrives at Jerusalem, coming into the city in royal parade. And so you have to picture the scene. Jesus, his disciples, and a whole entourage of people arriving at Jerusalem for the Passover season. They've crested the mountain, and they're beginning to head down the western side of the hills with Jerusalem in full view right in front of them. And not just Jerusalem itself, but the temple at the base of this road they're coming down. And then they'll go up a small little hill and they can enter right into the city. And the temple is right there. And the messianic fervor surrounding Jesus is at fever pitch. And so as they begin their descent into the city, here's what happens, verse 9. Now, the crowds going ahead of him and those who follow. So he's surrounded by this entourage of people, people before, people behind, waving branches, laying out their cloaks, royal parade. And the people were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And these words come from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. And we know from later rabbinic texts that after the time period of the New Testament, these words, Psalm 118, was one of the pilgrim songs used as Jews came to Jerusalem and went up into the temple for Passover. And they used it at some of the other feasts as well. And that tradition probably suggests that Jews were using Psalm 118 the same way in Jesus's day. So it's on their mind and it's in their heart as a pilgrim song, expressing their longing for the ancient promises to be fulfilled, for Messiah to come. And so now here's Jesus, and they're coming in and they're alluding to this text from Psalm 118, Hosanna, which literally means save, but it came to be an expression of praise in connection with the word here. It reflects Psalm 118, verse 25, right? And it's this exclamation of praise that literally means, save, I beg you. And so it represents the Jewish cry for God's deliverance. God, save your people, deliver us from our enemies. And then they hail Jesus as Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David, which, as we've noted throughout the gospel, is a royal title for the Messiah. The Messiah will be a king, the great Son of David, who will sit on the throne and restore the kingdom. And Matthew, throughout his gospel, has highlighted that this title is one that people have ascribed to Jesus on several occasions. And then they say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They hail Jesus as the coming king. That's the idea. He's coming in God's name, Yahweh's name. Mark actually adds the additional line, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, which kind of expresses the crowd's reflection on what's happening here in the context of Psalm 118. And so they're hailing Jesus as the Messiah, as the king. This is the return of the king. He's returning to his city in the person of Jesus. And that's why Matthew tells us how the people in Jerusalem respond. Look at verse 10. When he, that is Jesus, had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? Now, keep in mind that the city of Jerusalem is preparing for Passover. And what that meant was you would have residents of the city in Jerusalem, but then you would have thousands of extra people coming to the city, camping on the hills around the city, staying in the outlying villages, pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims from all over the Roman world. And we know from external sources that the population of Jerusalem and the surrounding villages swelled with visitors, sometimes tripling, even quadrupling for Passover season. This is the highlight of the year. And every Jew would save up money to make the trip to Jerusalem for Passover from wherever they lived, if they could just do it once in their lifetime. And so thousands of extra people in the city. So the question, who is this? Well, it makes perfect sense. Where are these pilgrims from? What's all this ruckus about? Who are they celebrating? And the answer? Well, the answer shows up in verse 11. And the crowds were saying, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. In other words, he's had connections. He's come to Jerusalem. He's been there. Word has spread about him. And so they're just letting him know. He's one of the pilgrims from Galilee, but he's Jesus the prophet. And Mark alone notes that it doesn't show up here in Matthew or doesn't show up in Luke or John. Mark alone notes that Jesus actually went in the temple, looked around, and then went back out of the city, up the Mount of Olives, back to Bethany, to where he's going to stay for the week of Passover. But Matthew here doesn't mention that detail. He just has Jesus entering the city. And then in the snapshot that follows this, he has the very next scene, which Mark specifies actually happens the next day. So Matthew's sort of condensing his story. But at this point, what we have is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, riding into the city in royal parade, being hailed as king. And he arrives after that 17-mile climb and ride into the city. Man, it is late in the day. There would be no sense doing much here now. So we're gonna save the rest for the next day. But what we want to see here is this is how Jesus came as king. This, in a very real sense, is the return of the king. The true king has returned to his people. And he comes riding a donkey, which means bringing peace and life. But as we keep reading for the rest of what is Passover week, we will see that the people, especially their leaders in Jerusalem, reject Jesus as king. One of the mistakes that sometimes is made in popular thinking about this is, here's the people hailing him as he rides in Jerusalem, and then a few days later, they're crying to crucify him. But it's not necessarily the same group. This is a crowd of Galilean pilgrims that have come with Jesus to the feast. They believe in him. They're following him. They're hailing him. It's primarily the residents of Jerusalem, and especially the leaders in Jerusalem who are hostile to Jesus. They're the ones calling for him to be crucified. And so what we see is Jesus the king coming into a city, and he knows it, and he welcomes this parade. He arranged for it. And he rides into Jerusalem as the king seeking to bring peace. And yet, he'll be rejected by the leaders of the city, and in a few short days, he'll be executed. All right, thanks for tuning into this session of the Listener's Commentary on the New Testament. The Listener's Commentary is a listener-supported, crowd-funded Bible teaching ministry that's made possible by the generosity of dozens of people just like you. So thanks a ton for your support. And if you want to join the team of supporters, easiest way to do that is to go to listenerscommentary.com and click the Give button. It'll redirect you to a page through World Family Mission, my page, where you can put in a dollar amount, check a little box that says Make This Monthly, and you can set up a recurring monthly donation right there. All monthly donors get access to the bonus materials on the Study Hub, some online courses, some charts, maps, pictures, Lord willing, eventually, hopefully some bonus recordings and other things to help supplement all this material so that you can dig in and learn and live the Bible for yourself. Thanks a ton for your support.